Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Coach Bruce Arians back here on the show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Some women's groups were wondering why you would bring Antonio Brown in. Have you had conversations with anybody on that front? And what would you say to them about that?
The Rich Eisen Show.
I've answered that one a few times, Rich, and all I can ask them to do is trust me on it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guest, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, host of the Knuckleheads podcast, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, otherwise known as And Then There's Mauve. Oh, yeah.
It looks
everybody
good
on Peacock
you,
can see there's a new colored, you know, dot in the Peacock colored dots. Mauve. I'm rocking it. Looks good, I think.
I think it looks great.
I appreciate that.
It looks great.
We're kind of, you and I kind of clash today. I mean, you've got like
mine's
a maroon.
Mine's a little dark.
You got your maroon zip up.
Yeah.
And Del Tufo's got the usual stuff we all get.
Yes,
Mike
free.
Del Tufo, a Thursday night football. A zip up that you got, I think, the first year we did Thursday night football.
Yeah, this is old school.
In 2006.
Yep. Jeez.
Yeah.
This is old school.
Yeah.
I like the fleece. It's cold in here. I need it.
When we relaunched Thursday Night Football on NFL Network.
Yep.
Hey, everybody. It's NBA Draft Day. NBA Draft Day. It's a day before Week 11 starts in the NFL with the latest Thursday Night Football game that is going to be lit. Seahawks hosting the Cardinals. By the way, I already booked Troy Aikman to talk about that game for us on Friday.
Awesome.
So he'll fly home and then talk to us after he and Buck call. That game's going to be great. But tonight's the NBA draft. And it is going to be interesting. Certainly the first few picks. There's a lot of intrigue going on, certainly when it involves top five, a franchise like the Bulls that has to wait for Michael Jordan to choose before him.
That's
and then the Timberwolves will tip it all off at 7 Eastern time with their choice. And then you've got the Golden State Warriors sitting with the second overall pick, which they earned. They earned by losing a ton last year without Klay the entire time. And then obviously we know Durant wasn't going to be there, but without Klay the entire time, without Steph for much of the time. Second overall pick as they're all back. They're going to basically run it back minus Durant with, you know, Wiggins, who they acquired from the Timberwolves.
Right.
And then they're all back with the second overall pick. The question is do they choose right there? Do they trade back down? One thing we are not hearing today, right now, straight up, noon Eastern time, 7 hours before it all goes down, what we are not hearing is Giannis is in play. We are not hearing Giannis is in play. What we're seeing is the Bucks making a lot of moves to make sure that Giannis is not in play or is happy to at work and not be at play, in play. So we're not hearing anything on that front right now.
Yeah, I'm just quickly checking Woj and Shams just to make sure.
The all-world player we're hearing everything about right now is Harden. And, yep. You know, Woj was on ESPN this morning, which is where he does his work, saying that the Rockets are attempting to sit back. He used the words slow play and to sit back and slow play and see if they can repair the relationship.
Oh, wow.
Because he is someone who wants to become a Brooklyn Net. And that's just the way it's going right now. And we had Ramona Shelburne on Monday. It was her byline along with Woj and Zach Lowe over the weekend that said that the all-time great James Harden, she was on Monday, say that he worked out with Durant and Kyrie right around here.
Like,
I mean, we didn't even
like
know.
Right over here.
You know, right around here. And talked it out. Maybe we should do this professionally. And that's the way she said things go. It starts with players, chat with players, and it's not tampering if Durant and Kyrie are working out with Harden, and they're all like, you know, this is kind of fun. This is kind of fun. This is kind of fun. The coach that's been dialing things up for me is gone, and the general manager is gone, and they're bringing in a new coach, new GM. You know, Westbrook and him aren't, I don't know, do they get along? Do they not get along? Is it not out there?
Don't know. Hard to tell.
Did you see Rick Bucher said part of this might be political? That the owner has one political belief that he's very strong in, and Harden doesn't.
And Harden doesn't
want any part of it.
Don't think so. Bro.
So I don't know how that relationship gets repaired. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're hearing. But tonight's the draft, and even though you're already hearing the trades are happening, they're not official until December. Normally, if you remember when things were normal and there wasn't a pandemic, and this was held a week and a half after an NBA Finals in June, it front-loaded everything. The new league year window happens after the draft opens up, and that's why you would see a ton of hats on players that don't correspond to the teams that they were going to be playing professional basketball for. I'm assuming we're going to see a lot of that tonight. But right now, Harden is apparently in play for the Rockets to either keep or boost some form of sense that he's up for grabs to be gotten by somebody other than the Nets so they can get a ton of players and picks. I mean, if Jrue Holiday netted what Jrue Holiday netted, what will Harden net? Right. He's 31 with 2 years left on a contract and a player option for a third.
A big contract, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it down here in my book.
He has 3 years and $133 million left.
Right, with a player option.
Right.
Yeah, it's $131.5 million over three seasons.
Yeah.
Westbrook and him have the same deal.
Because he famously, that's the story this week, that he turned down a two-year $103 extension. And everyone's like, what? Why would he turn down $51.5 million a year?
Right. And so the three players at the top of the draft, right now, I mean, it's gone back and forth the last few days and certainly weeks. Anthony Edwards looks like the Georgia shooting guard is going to be number one overall. We're going to see him wearing a Timberwolves uniform. He and Karl Anthony Towns and the rest. And then the question is, who do the Warriors choose? I mean, and then do the Bulls want to trade up? And you're hearing the Bulls might want to come from 4 to 2 and leapfrog Charlotte for James Wiseman. You're hearing that. And I don't know, the Warriors would want to trade down and accept at 4. And if it does go Edwards and Wiseman and the Hornets are sitting 3rd overall, this is what the good people at ESPN, or certainly in our world of television, would call, for ESPN, the mother load. The absolute mother load.
Mother load for the mothership?
The mothership mother load. And that would be the fact that LaMelo Ball would be available for Michael Jordan to select. Oh, boy.
Would he do it?
And the guy who once said he could beat Michael Jordan in one-on-one would then be front and center.
Big baller brand, we here to stay.
Now, look, everybody get ready to see a lot of LaVar Ball tonight. Everybody get ready. Buckle up.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
I think so.
And I will say this, because I think he is, he's somebody who does not smell his own you-know-what, right?
Yeah.
And has said things, and the whole stay-in-your-lane stuff.
Sure.
All that business. But I have to give him this, man, and you have to. And I shouldn't even say begrudgingly. You have to give him this. He's going to have two kids drafted top 5 in the NBA draft. That's going to happen by the end of tonight.
Yeah, maybe.
That is going to happen by the
three.
End of the night. He could have two kids top
That's
3.
Insane.
Yeah.
Lonzo was 2.
And he was talking about my kids this, my kids that. Yep. And you're like, okay, sure, got it. Sure. I hear you. Yeah, yeah. Understood. Whatever. But that's going down.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah. And this kid, LaMelo, might be
better.
Better than LaMelo.
And I'll say this. You know, we all thought Richard, when he was talking about his daughters, and then he started saying that Serena could be better than Venus, and guy was right. So
even
you
Earl
to
Woods,
give
like, these
credit say, where it is due, that the Ball kids are balling out enough to get where they are in terms of the NBA draft, and they are going to be, by the end of the night, I mean, what was the last brother tandem to be drafted top three? I don't think there has that ever happened. Is this going to be NBA draft history tonight? I mean, the Lopez brothers weren't. I mean, just name what siblings have been drafted top three in the NBA draft? And this kid, LaMelo, I mean, he's gone all over the globe. He's going to be announced tonight, Isaac, as a member of the Illawarra Hawks of the Australian League.
He's done it his way.
So he's also, he's 6'7", a buck 81. We're going to have to get him in the workout room, right?
Yeah. He's also still growing. Like, he might top out at 6'9" when it's all said and done.
Isn't that crazy? But that's the mother load, is that Michael Jordan says yes. And according to The Ringer, he has already given the okay. He's given the Michael Jordan thumbs up to his staff selecting LaMelo third overall, if that's the way it goes.
Good. Even when you lose, I win.
I don't even know what that means. I didn't know what that meant at the time. I still don't know. It's coming. It's coming.
So the Lopez brothers, Rich, in the 2008 draft, Brooke went 10th and Robin went 15th.
That might be it, right? That might be the bar that's going to get shattered tonight. We'll talk about it with Jay Billis in 8 minutes' time. Jay Billis, who's part of the broadcast tonight at 7 Eastern time on ESPN, hosted by Reese Davis, who's our first guest tomorrow. Jay's first up. And then later on, we'll talk about all the NBA news with the host of Knuckleheads podcast on the Players Tribune, Quinn Richardson and Darius Miles of your Los Angeles Clippers, TJ Jefferson, way back in the day.
Can't wait to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, I Zoomed with them, and I will be. It's a great chat. Then later on, they have some interesting takes. I do ask them about Ty Lue and what did happen to your Los Angeles Clippers. That'll be in the third hour. And then Kyle Brandt on everything going on in the world of the NFL. And what we will do with Jay Billis. We will, in fact, do with
All
Jay
right.
Billis what we did with Daniel Jeremiah, the top draft Nick, if you will, of the NFL Network, NFL Media Group, our draft expert. We will do with Jay what we did with Daniel Jeremiah a couple of weeks ago, which was with DJ. It was the Waterboys' 22nd anniversary of its premiere date. We did ask him to rank four fictional movie football characters in terms of which one was most worthy of the number one overall pick in the draft if they were up for it. I think he chose Willie Beeman.
He had Willie Beeman number
over
one,
Bobby Boucher, then Forrest Gump, and then he was down on Johnny Utah.
Way down on Utah. Yeah.
So we will ask Jay Billis to rank four fictional basketball movie characters. Now, before we unveil them, we decided we could not choose a real basketball player acting as a fake basketball player.
Correct. True. Correct.
That,
correct.
Because there were some fictional football characters in movie history. Mm-hmm. There have been played by actual former NFL players, like from Any Given Sunday, Lawrence Taylor or Michael Irvin in The Longest Yard. There's so many more, however, actors playing football players in football movies than basketball movies. We could not go with Jesus Shuttlesworth. Like, we couldn't have a list that would be Shaq, Penny Hardaway from Blue Chips, and then Ray Allen from He Got Game, or Dr. J from The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Not the way we're going.
Exactly. We could have, but it wouldn't have been as much fun.
It would be like, who deserves to be number one overall? Shaq would actually beat Ray Allen and Penny Hardaway.
Leon
and
even Bordeaux Dr. J is getting that nod, right?
Yeah, okay.
Even Fletch is out because he played for the Lakers.
Shaq was the number one pick, right?
That's why before we do this on Twitter, because we always get the whatabouts, people, we could not put them on the
But by the way, Mike, we have perfectly set things up, and you stepped in it. No, Fletch was not a real basketball. He was Chevy Chase. He wasn't a real basketball player.
But he played.
Player.
He was already
Doesn't
playing
matter.
For a professional
no, no, just,
team.
Just stop.
But that was in his dream.
Here we go. Here are the four that are up for bids. This is who we decided. And there are some that are left out.
Yeah. This was a process, by the way.
This was a process.
Oh, my goodness. Over
this
several
was, this
days.
Was like a Sam Hinkie process.
Several days.
We trusted it.
I got
this
heated.
Is who we got.
I got heated.
I know you did.
During the email process a little
Here
bit.
We go. Here are the four. Our poll question is, which one of these deserves to be a make the best NBA prospect, okay?
Yes.
Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah. Give it to Jimmy.
Perfect form.
Sidney Dean from White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, yeah.
Warren Coolidge from The White Shadow. So we got two high school players here, okay, going straight to the pros.
Totally fine.
And then Teen Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Teen Wolf.
He's a tweener.
We went with Teen Wolf.
That's Mike Mass.
That's it.
With the flow.
These are the four that we're about to place in front of Jay Billis.
This is so silly. All right, it's up at Rich Eisen Show.
You can vote.
You vote right now.
You can also call us at 844-204-RICH and tell us if we missed anybody.
This is amazing.
I mean,
Jay Billis is going to give us his professional opinion. And also on this show, in case you missed the end of yesterday's program. In case you missed the way the show ended yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
What happened yesterday?
Well, you know how I mentioned that Harden and Kyrie and Durant worked out around here, and we had no idea. No clue that they were here. They didn't let us know.
No clue. We had no idea. No idea.
And why wouldn't they let us know? I mean, we're right in the neighborhood. You have to stop by and say hello. Just at least give the respect.
Right.
That's not the only disrespectful arrival in this environment that I was unfamiliar with. You guys, you TJ Jefferson, you Christopher Brockman, you Mike Del Tufo, thanks to Adam the call screener who called in yesterday to bitch about his Bears and then revealed at the end, here's a good piece of news. Del Tufo agreed to pay for all the Lou Malnati's pizza that we had delivered from Chicago. And I'm like, what pizza? And then I found out that not only did the four of you get together and say, let's get those Lou Malnati's pizzas that we had been telling Del Tufo we should get for weeks and months. Del Tufo finally said, yes, you've got that all here. You not only had it delivered. You not only had it delivered to Mike Del Tufo's house and him bring it to this studio.
Oh, yeah.
You not only did that, but you actually ate it. You actually ate it on the golf You actually ate it on the golf course right here. You actually did that. And you actually did not tell me about it.
This is for Rich, Mike. Sorry.
You're now like Rudy. I get it. Laying it all on my desk. The Lou Malnati's pizza. Okay. I get it. You're all laying it on my desk. Thank you.
Richie.
The fans are cheering a name. We can hear from the fans.
I appreciate it.
Richie.
Thank you, guys.
I still
don't appreciate the Rudy meme that you're pulling on me.
Richie.
I've got the pizzas right here. Okay, there's Rudy coming off the field. Well done. Well done.
Put him in the game.
I said I wanted it on my desk this morning, and I know I'd have a partner. And you had this whole thing, this whole caper.
This is the Lufthansa heist times two.
Got it. I have my own caper that I planned for this show later on. That you'd actually pay me the respect of delivering me these pizzas.
Come on.
Lou Malnati's has tweeted at us saying that pizzas are coming.
I love it.
Rich, ye of little faith. Come on.
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got the muscle.
We got the muscle.
So Lou Malnati's pizza says that they're sending me some pizzas. I'm having them delivered to your house, Mike.
The condo Madonna.
And I appreciate that you guys have laid these on my desk, similar to your Notre Dame jerseys.
On the day of your daughter's wedding.
Understood.
Wait a second, Luca Mike. Brazzi.
No, it's okay.
Oh yes.
Mike has something else.
What else does he have right there?
Well, since I'm the coach and I was the guy to board him, you're
the
going
Notre
in,
Dame
Rudy.
Hat. This is
you're
great.
Going in.
I've got
Rudy is going in. You're going to play. Rudy is going in the game.
I appreciate it. So, thank you for this. That said, my plans that I still hatched about how I should handle this are still, we're not turning back.
Uh-oh.
That's on you now. The blood's on your hands.
There was still a Pay No Mind list that I landed on that I still have a problem with. That's still to come. It's still to come here on this show.
Ready to roll on the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jay Billis, let's take a two-minute break. We'll be back with Jay Billis. He's going to be broadcasting with Reese Davis and the rest of the ESPN crew tonight's highly anticipated NBA draft. And then, which fictional movie basketball character deserves drafting? That's coming up. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. About to ask Jay Billis, which fictional basketball player would make the best NBA prospect? We're going to ask him to go 1 through 4. Rank them after going through them one by one. You know, I think we should, however, ask him about the actual
NBA draft. Yeah,
first,
you're probably right. You're probably right.
That he's broadcasting tonight at 7 Eastern time, right?
That seems to be actually important.
Okay. Our radio audience is returning in a matter of seconds, and once that happens, I will welcome Jay in. And then your phone calls, those who were, we got a few fans who wanted to get in about what their agenda is, calling in right before the show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles will join us together in hour number 3.
Sweet.
I called their highlights 20 years ago, man.
That was a fun era of Clipper basketball.
Absolutely. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Mightier 1090 and Sirius XM on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. And my buddy, who I just love talking to him. I loved working with him back in the day. I mentioned we've got Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson later on. I did their SportsCenter highlights for their first 3 years in the pros. It's been 20 years since they got drafted.
Wow.
Darius Miles straight out of high school. So at any rate, tonight's broadcast on ESPN at 7 Eastern time, including Jay Billis, who's back here on the show. How are you, Jay?
Great, Richard. How are you?
I am doing just fine. So 7 Eastern time tonight, you're in Bristol, right? Who's with you? Walk me through the broadcast this evening.
We've got Reese Davis is the lead on this thing. And we've got Mike Schmitz, who's one of the best talent evaluators I've ever been around. Bobby Marks, who spent a career in NBA front offices. Jay Williams. Adrian Wojnarowski. We got a pretty good crew.
Fantastic. And is there an NBA draft bubble, or are we going to see Commissioner Silver, like Commissioner Goodell, announcing draft choices from his basement or man cave? What are we seeing?
No, Adam Silver and Mark Tatum will both be on the ESPN campus. So he'll have a little green room and walk out with each pick, get behind a podium, and so from that standpoint, it'll look similar. The players won't be there, and it won't be in, you know, sort of a cavernous arena like Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So that'll be a little different, and we won't have people yelling at us when we make a mistake, stuff like that from the crowd.
You sure about that, Jay? I mean, you might have some executives come down and yell at you. You know, you never know. I mean,
yeah. Jimmy Pitaro may come down and give a quick pink slip. You know, like give me the hook.
Yes,
that wouldn't be a surprise.
You won't. Just remember, it's called Disney Plus, Jay. That's called Disney Plus. Make sure that you work that in, and I think everything will be fine.
I may be delivering those pizzas that are coming your way.
You're just going to be just fine. So that's cool. So the commissioner will be there. That's cool. And then the players, I assume, will all be in their spots. Who's the first one tonight? Give me your 2 cents of what's going to happen tonight, Jay.
Yeah, I think it'll be Anthony Edwards of Georgia. I think he's the best prospect. You know, my colleague Mike Schmitz, who's as good a talent evaluator as I've ever known, has LaMelo Ball as the overall best prospect and the best talent. I happen to think it's Edwards, but reasonable minds can differ on that. I tip toward Edwards just because he's a spectacular athlete in addition to being a big-time scorer and just a freight train in transition and can get to the rim. I thought he settled for jump shots too much. He should have shot a lot more free throws, and he's not all the time focused defensively, but when he does sit down in a stance, he is hard to deal with. But I think he's got the best chance to be an all-star player. And then I'm a big believer in James Wiseman out of Memphis. He only played three games last year because that whole NCAA issue he got involved in. But if this draft were 5 or 10 years ago, James Wiseman would have been the no-brainer number one pick. It wouldn't have been close. He's a 7'1", kind of Chris Bosh type player with a 7'6 wingspan. So he can run. He's mobile laterally. I think he can shoot it. So I think he's going to be able to step away and knock down an NBA three. So I think he's a really good fit for the Warriors if they decide to keep the pick and not trade out of it.
And so that would leave LaMelo for Michael Jordan. Do you think that? I called that at the top of the show, the mothership motherload. That would be it. You know, I mean, that Michael Jordan, who was once challenged to a one-on-one contest by LeVar because LeVar said he could win it, drafting LaMelo.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a chance to ask LeVar
a question. Trade out of that pick, so Jordan doesn't have to deal with that chirping all the time.
If LaMelo gets drafted tonight and you do get a question in to LeVar, you got to ask him if he's going to challenge the guy who's going to be writing LaMelo's checks to a one-on-one contest to see if he could back it up. But
I don't think I'm going to be interviewing him. I will be completely frank with you. I basically said I would never mention his name again after he went after that female official in AU ball.
Right.
I thought this misogynistic clown is not worth my time, and I haven't really changed my mind. You know, his son is a great player, and Lonzo Ball is a great player. I actually think that LaMelo is a better playmaker than Lonzo. He doesn't shoot it quite as well as Lonzo, and he's nowhere near the defender Lonzo is. But LeVar Ball and his wife raised some terrific kids and terrific players. But I have no patience for him personally.
So then LaMelo would fit how? You're talking about him as he's being bandied about potentially as the best prospect here. 6'7" and soaking wet, a buck 80 right now. Potentially,
he's gotten bigger than that over the whole workout period. You know, they've had a lot longer to work out because of COVID than any prospects in history that have declared for the draft. But so he's bigger and stronger than he was when all those measurements are taken. But he's great in transition. He's fantastic with the ball. He's just a wizard with his handle and his passing, and can deliver really almost any pass. I think the downside with him is he is not a defender. Can he be one? He's not an overwhelming athlete like Anthony Edwards is. So but he can guard somebody if he wants to. He just hasn't wanted to yet. And then he doesn't shoot it. Can he become a better shooter? Yes. Is he going to be a really good shooter? I doubt it. But you never know. Some players, when they get into the NBA, they really have a big uptick in shooting. Others don't. But I think with work, he can become a competent shooter in the NBA. But he hasn't been to this point. And Rich, it's been a long time since he's finished a season. He played in Australia, didn't finish the season, didn't really finish a season in Lithuania when he played pro ball as a high school kid, and then he didn't finish his high school season. So, that's an issue, but it's not disqualifying or anything.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, I know your bailiwick is talent evaluation and seeing where fits are and things of that nature, and not the trading aspect of it. That's kind of Woj's bailiwick. That said,
everything is Woj's bailiwick. I mean, I call him for the weather and to find out what stocks to buy. He knows everything first.
There's a lot of Woj bombs, no doubt about it. But if the Warriors did trade down to four because the Bulls coveted Wiseman so much and they just couldn't refuse that offer, who do you think they'd be targeting it for? Who do you think is that player? Jay.
There are a couple that I think they would really, really like there. One is Denny Avdia, who's a 6'9", skilled big guy from Israel. So he played for Maccabi Tel Aviv, and really, really talented player that is still very young, but has a lot of experience internationally, obviously. And then there are a couple others that I think would be interesting for them. One is Isaac Okoro out of Auburn. I don't know if they'd want to take him number four because I think he'd be available even further down, maybe seven. But he's the only thing Okoro doesn't do yet is shoot it really well from the perimeter. But, man, he literally defends one through five. and a real competitor. I mean, he's legit. I'm a big believer in him. And the other, I would say, would be Tyrese Halliburton. And there's some that say, well, Halliburton should go, you know, sort of in the 7-8 range. I rank him as the fourth best prospect in the draft. I mean, this is a draft that doesn't have a lot of, you know, sort of no-brainer great prospects. It's not like 03 that had, you know, LeBron and Carmelo and Bosh and Dwayne Wade, all that stuff. But it's got a bunch of good players that are going to be in the league a long time. And Halliburton's ready to plug in right now as a big point guard with long arms that can defend and pass and shoot and handle. He's can't miss as far as being a long time, you know, 10, 12 year starter in the league as long as he stays healthy.
Who's that mid first round guy? Who's that Donovan Mitchell? Who do you got for me? Who do you got for me that couldn't
who's
just
the
be
Donovan Mitchell?
Who's a superstar?
I like Devin Vassell a lot. I don't know that he'll go in the middle of the draft. There are two guys. I'd say Devin Vassell of Florida State, who I think is the best perimeter defender in the draft, wing defender, right there with Okoro. And he's very talented, and you know, he could score, rebounds his position, and really guards and put up really good numbers, even though he didn't play full games because of the way Leonard Hamilton at Florida State likes to substitute and keep pressure on opposing teams. And the other would be Sadiq Bey. He's not Donovan Mitchell with his explosiveness, but he shoots it a heck of a lot better. Sadiq Bey's 6'8", another long-armed kind of 3-and-D guy that can really shoot it. He shot 45% from three last year at Villanova. And, you know, you research the guy, you know, you watched him play all through college. But when you really dig in on him, you're going, okay, there's got to be something wrong with this guy. You know, he doesn't make his bed in the morning, or he leaves his towels on the floor in hotels. There's got to be something he does wrong, and I haven't found it yet.
Jay Bellis here on the Rich Eisen Show tonight, 7 Eastern time. Reese Davis and Woj and the cast of thousands, including Adam Silver up there in Bristol, along with the rest of the crew. For the NBA draft. Okay, Jay, I reached out to you last week because we have this caper. We have some shenanigans here, but we still treat this very seriously, the mixture between pop culture and sports.
Oh, this is a very serious thing. I considered what we just talked about to be the shenanigans.
Okay.
This is something I've been preparing for my whole life.
Okay. I figured you would be the guy to reach out to. We have four fictional characters from film lore, basketball characters, that we're wondering who would make the best NBA draft prospect. I'm going to go one by one with you, and then at the end of I'll ask you to rank them all, if that's fine with you, Jay. You ready?
Of course.
Okay, first up is the point guard from the Venice Beach Locals, Sidney Dean. What's your take on him and his draft ability?
Well, Sidney Dean from White Men Can't Jump, great handle, mm-hmm. Somewhat of a trash talker, a little mm-hmm. bit of a gym rat, mm-hmm. but really hustles out on the floor.
That's right.
The blacktop, really. He's not yet played an indoor game. It's all been outdoors. Mm. So, you know, his jump shot may be pushed by the wind to mm-hmm. go in or to go out. We'll see, you know, how he does in an indoor game. Mm-hmm. He is undersized and tends to over dribble a little bit. And he also tends to hustle in a negative fashion. But he has played against quality competition, including Freeman Williams, Nigel Miguel, who played at UCLA. Marcus Johnson was in that movie.
Yeah.
And then Gary Moeller, who played at UC Santa Barbara, whose dad pitched for the Dodgers, Joe Moeller.
So put it all together, and that's his. We came with a comp of Gary Payton, but way shorter. That's would you agree with that comp, Jay?
Yeah, Gary wouldn't agree with it because he was actually in that movie, although didn't receive any credit in the credits. So I think he's still pretty pissed off about that.
Okay, so that's Sidney Dean. Next up is from Hickory High School, shooting guard Jimmy Chitwood. Jay, what do you think about his draft ability?
Jimmy Chitwood, spot-up shooter, tends to demand the ball, especially in huddles. He'll make his teammates better, although not particularly supportive of Ollie when he took that free throw, those free throws at the end of the game, the underhanded free throws against Cedar Knob
yeah.
was the opponent. And who doesn't enjoy saying Cedar Knob on national radio? The problem, he's not always motivated, and Jimmy Chitwood tends to get a little chummy with the alumni. And I think a little questionable relationship with his teacher, Barbara Hershey.
Wow.
I think
okay, that's a red flag.
I liken him to Clay Thompson without the defense.
Okay.
And people don't know this about Jimmy Chitwood. Mm-hmm. He was all-state in golf and actually went to Purdue. and was found for that movie in an open gym because he was cut three times from his high school basketball team.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's some interesting information. And he just, again, the question, can he create his own shot?
Who are you dealing with here? Of course that's interesting information.
That's right. That's it's Jay Billis. The question is, can he create his own shot, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, does he need it to be drawn up on the board? Can he just improvise? That's the question about Jimmy Chitwood, right?
Well, he never gets caught watching the paint dry.
That's true. That is definitely a plus. Next up, another high schooler from Carver High, center Warren Coolidge. What do you think of his draft ability, Jay?
Physically imposing, rebounds at a high level, was coached by an NBA player, Ken Reeves, who had a wonderful fictional career with the Chicago Bulls before getting injured.
Yeah, that was tough.
A fantastic locker room singing voice. Yeah. and reminds you a lot of Ben Wallace with sort of a Barry White voice. The problem is, you know, tends to be a little unmotivated.
Yep.
And wasn't necessarily the best player on that show. Wolf Perry was on that show, who played at Stanford. And then you may not know this, but Jay Billis was once on that show.
Oh! Do tell, Jay. Do tell. Really?
You knew that.
No,
I told you that.
No.
I was in high school, and one of my high school teammates, his father, Dick Baker, was the technical consultant for the show. And so he got us on the show, and I wound up, the show opened.
Yes.
The show we were on opened with me getting yelled at by our coach. I was the supposed to be the quote-unquote best player at Oak Ridge High School, which one of the Carver guys, Reese, had transferred to. And the show opened with me getting yelled at in the locker room, which, you know, was foreshadowing for my college career playing for Coach K.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. So did Carver beat you on the White Shadow? Did you lose to Carver in that episode?
Of course not. No one would buy that nonsense once they saw me on the floor. They had to sell that to the public.
That's they did. All right, last one for you. This is he plays tons of position, guard, forward, and center from Beacon Hills High School. Teen Wolf, Jay. What do you think about his abilities?
Teen
here?
Wolf, whose name in the film was Scott Howard, mm-hmm. When he wasn't a wolf. Great vertical leap, plays above the rim. I think you could refer to him literally and figuratively as a beast. Only 5'3", but plays much bigger.
Yep.
The problem is he comes from a small town in Nebraska, so he'd have to cut family ties. And then he's occasionally violent, although his hair is perfect.
Well,
by the way, I love it. Peak Larry Johnson with Bill Walton's 1977 beard. That's a good comp, don't you think? That's
a good comp. Did you get the family ties?
I picked it up. I did pick that up.
Very, very good.
I did. All right, so rank them.
Alex B. Keaton.
Yes, indeed. So rank them for me. One through, I go four through, I guess, to one. Which one do you think is least NBA prospect worthy, and then the best, Jay?
I would probably say number four would be Jimmy Chitwood because of his lack of defense.
Okay.
Then I'd go with Teen Wolf number three.
Yep.
Sidney Dean, I would have number two. And then you got to go with Warren Coolidge because if there was actually a game by the actor that played the part,
yes,
Warren Coolidge would win in a landslide. Okay. He was the best player of that crew.
Okay, very good, Jay. I appreciate it. That was stellar, as expected. That was just absolutely stellar. And did you have somebody that we forgot? Is there somebody out there that you think should have been thrown in here into this mix?
Well, I think Julius Erving from
I mean a non-NBA player. A non-NBA player.
Jackie Moon.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to figure that one out for later. Jackie Moon's not a bad one. Well, I guess he was semi-pro. Was he semi-pro or different? He's professional in a way, but Jackie Moon is a bad one.
The Florida Tropics, that's a real team. I mean, if you're taking a guy off the playground in Venice Beach, you can go with the Florida Tropics. Or the Flint Tropics. Excuse me, the Flint Tropics.
The Flint Tropics, that's right. Oh my gosh, Jay, have a great time tonight. I'll be there with my kids. We'll be watching.
Always a pleasure, Richie.
Right
back. And by the way, yes. You know, you're talking about ESPN and your time there.
Yes.
You don't know this, but all of us went down and put our ties down on George Bodenheimer's desk. to get you your shot.
I didn't even know that, by the way. I didn't even
we
know.
We all did that.
Did
and
you?
We said, we are not going on the air until Richie Eisen gets his shot. He's earned it.
My problem with these guys doing that early, and they knew. They know I despise Notre Dame and Rudy with a passion. They know it.
You do?
They're all trying to get
my goat. I didn't know that.
Please stop it.
No.
Stop it. Stop it. But I appreciate that. I didn't know that, Jay. Thank you. Years later.
You owe me a tie because I haven't gotten it back.
I look forward to seeing your tie tonight. Thanks for the call, Jay. You're the best, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're the best. That's Jay Billis. Warren Coolidge wins it.
That was awesome.
Ben Wallace with a Barry White singing voice, everybody. That's his comp.
I mean,
we knew he'd nail that. He'd stick the landing.
That was perfect.
And well done to Sean Mitchell creating all those draft profiles. The
family ties line. Come on.
All right, so maybe later on we got to get we'll have to see what Jackie Moon's draft profile is.
Maybe Billy Hoyle too. I mean, why not?
I mean, if we're
doing Sydney,
yeah, we got to do Billy.
We got to do Billy.
Well, but he can't jump.
That's true.
Right,
but he can pull a pass out of his.
Okay, I got it. So. All right, well, it's still worthy of seeing.
I think so.
His draft notes.
Yeah, why not?
844-204 Rich number to dial. We'll take your calls in a moment, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was great. Kyle Brandt, Quentin Richardson, Darius Miles, and you still to come.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
We're back here on our stream, taking you to Brother from Another, taking it from Dan Patrick. Jay Billis, everybody.
I mean,
amazing.
That deserves a round of applause.
I mean, he's just phenomenal.
That's
what he does. He evaluates.
I mean, some of these draft bullet points are just fantastic.
Was it Ben Wallace with Barry White's voice?
Yep. All right, yep. If Clay Thompson didn't play D, that's Jimmy Chitwood. Jimmy didn't have a three-point shot, though, because there was no arc.
No arc in the 50s.
There's no arc.
I got to think, you know, playing now kind of changes his game a little bit.
I thought that was salacious, him saying that something was going on between Jimmy and...
I mean...
Allegedly.
Alert TMZ. Like,
I know.
Like, what's going on there?
You know, my gosh.
I thought Coach Dale was going after Barbara.
Where do things stand for our poll question? Well, by the way, Barbara Hershey in two of three great movies, right? She's Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. She was in The Natural, sports movies. So two great sports movies, right?
Good for her.
She was in The Natural and Hoosiers.
It's two pretty good ones to be in.
Playing Jimmy Chitwood's guardian, by the way. We all know that. Whatever Jay said was total. Sometimes, you know, scouts will talk and red flags will get
that's
raised
right.
that are
that's
totally
right.
unwarranted. And I will not stand for that with Jimmy Chitwood. Back now on our radio network. On the Mightier 1090, locally, as the Rich Eisen Show radio network includes a Sirius XM channel 211 as well.
What do you want to do? You want to hit your thumb on this one, or you want to wait a little bit?
I'm going to wait a little bit on the poll question, which is, again, what we just asked Jay Billis. And I want to get to some phone calls as well. The world of the NFL is a narrative-generating machine. I call it that, and I remember when I was back at ESPN, did not know that they laid ties on the desk of the ESPN president. I know Jay was saying that based on you laying the Lou Malnati's pizzas on my desk, Rudy style earlier, which will still not stop the train that's coming your way later on in the show.
That's on you.
It's not on me.
Blood's on your hands.
Is it one train, multiple?
You're going to love the train, Mike.
I'm a big fan of the train.
It's
like the band train?
No, you guys have no idea what's coming your way. None. Zero. Well,
Our hands are clean. It's going to be on you now.
No.
It's going to be on you.
The fact that
you played.
We'll talk about that later. I'll put a pin in it. But the NFL is a narrative generating machine. And I remember when I was back at ESPN back in the day. And when I left ESPN, the concept of talking NFL in the so-called off-season. I remember a SportsCenter Ideas meeting in April of 2003, the month before I was unceremoniously shown the door there as I went to NFL Network. Everybody at the Worldwide Leader in Sports was like, well, why are we talking about anything 3 weeks before the draft like this? I remember that. It's a narrative generating machine. Now everybody's got multiple live NFL shows a day. And the reason why, latest proof, it's a narrative generating machine is yesterday we're talking about how the Giants could have been running away with the NFC East if things went well. And that they still have a shot at winning this division at 3-7 because they've won two in a row and they're finally getting W's out of the hard work that you clearly see that these players endeavor week in, week out, despite getting their brains beaten in weeks 1 and 3 by the Steelers and 49ers, and then close calls one after another against Chicago, against the Rams, against the Cowboys, against the Eagles. A close call actually went their way against the Washington football team. They have a chance to win this division, and that's a fact. They are playing the most consistent football out of everybody that's on that screen right there in the NFC East. That is a fact. So why would they fire their offensive line coach this morning in Mark Colombo? Send him packing. Right on a bye week. Why would they do that? Well, there's word that apparently the coach and the offensive line coach got into a fight. Fisticuffs. That is what's being reported. But my colleague from the NFL media group, Kim Jones, who knows everything about the Giants organization. I would absolutely trust her over anybody that talks about anything in my shop about the New York Giants.
Absolutely.
Mike Garofalo as well. But right now, Kim is reporting she's been told there was no fist fight between Joe Judge and Mark Colombo.
Yeah, quote, absolutely false in every way.
Okay. So I'll go with Kim on that one. But still, the offensive line coach has been sent packing in a bye week. In week 11.
Kind of interesting.
And as you know, what fills the vacuum, what fills the void is conspiracy tinfoil hat stuff. We see it every day in this world. But keep an eye on that. That run game, man. Losing Saquon in week 2, firing the offensive line coach week 11 bye week. I mean, and they still have a shot to win this division. Fact.
fact.
As Philadelphia takes on Cleveland. Although Jack Conklin, the tackle for the Cleveland Browns, just went into the COVID-19 protocol.
Yes. They've had a few players.
I know. So, and Cody Parkey, their kicker, just went on the COVID-19 list as well. Yeah. You got to have, what, 4 to 5 days of negative tests in a row in order to get off of that list.
And their long snapper, Charlie Hewlett.
By the way, don't joke about that, man.
No, that's a huge deal.
I know, it's a huge deal.
That's a huge deal. As you saw, it affected the Ravens just you know, on Monday night.
So, you know, the Eagles are taking on Cleveland, and the Dallas Cowboys are coming off of their bye, and it does appear Andy Dalton is going to get the go. He's going to be activated from the COVID-19 list he's been sitting on since he got blowed up by the Washington football team. They're taking on the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't know what's going to happen in that game.
I'll tell you what's going to happen in that game. Dalvin Cook is going to run all over the place, and Justin Jefferson's going to catch all over the place. That's a fact. And the question is can the Dallas Cowboys keep track?
Running the table, like I said.
I don't know what table
you have is. Confidence in the Vikings to win that game? We saw what they looked like on Monday.
And then Washington football team's got, you know, Alex Smith getting his feet wet, taking on Cincinnati before a Thanksgiving afternoon game against Dallas and then visiting Pittsburgh. That's a tough one. Seattle's still on their list. They got one game against Philadelphia. Let's go to Eric in West Palm Beach, Florida. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, sir?
Mr. Eisen, how are you today, sir?
How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to first thank you for making my 2020 much brighter. I watch you guys on Game Day Morning on Sundays. I watch you throughout the week on Peacock.
Thank you.
You guys really are so vital and crucial in this day and age with your entertainment, your wisdom, your generosity, your kindness. So I want to thank you from the outset.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. It means a lot.
So I also want to tell you that I feel your pain when it comes to your Michigan Wolverines. As a Florida State fan, we're not accustomed to this kind of acrid performance on the field. So I want to let you know that we're in this together. We're going to get through this, period.
Okay.
We're going to be better soon enough.
Okay. I'll take that to the bank.
So my main reason for calling you guys today was to say that I'm in agreement with you on how bullish you are with Tua and the Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not only do I see the Dolphins winning the next three games against Denver, the New York Jets, and Cincinnati, giving them a 9-3 record heading into the game against Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'm calling my shot here and now to say I believe Miami won't just, and I say this for entertainment purposes only, beat the point spread at home against Kansas City. I'm telling you, they're going to beat the Chiefs.
Oh, boy, man.
Which will likely set up the Week 17 matchup against the Bills to be what you said in last week's Four Down segment, that the game will end up being the Sunday night football finale, game 256, to determine the winner of the AFC East, which would also give Brian Flores Coach of the Year honors.
He's in the running. Yeah, and by the way, I greatly appreciate everything you said about the show, and you clearly are listening to what we're putting down, because you just echoed back a lot of the stuff that we said. And thanks for the call. Call back. Keep watching. I appreciate that. Tell your friends. I'm head over heels about Tua. I am head over heels about him. I think he's got a great head on his shoulders. He's got a massive heart in that chest. And he's got an offensive coordinator who's found a fountain of youth in Chan Gailey through Tua, and a head coach in Brian Flores. Before the season, I picked Sean McDermott as my Coach of the Year candidate.
Good pick, by the way.
And I know, and he's still in the running there. But Flores, if Tua does what he's saying, our caller saying, beating Kansas City, what's a crazier idea? My idea that I'm choosing my shot now, Raiders over the Chiefs this Sunday, or Tua over the Chiefs in 4 weeks from now? I choose Tua over the Chiefs 4 weeks from now, because the Raiders have already beaten Kansas City. It's the only time Kansas City's lost, and that's a division game. I know I've been kind of nuts about Tua here. I get it. I'm all in for a reason.
He's making you look good too.
He's really good. He's accurate.
He's really good.
He's got zip on his throws. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't try to do too much. He seems totally in control. You haven't seen any of those crazy moments where he doesn't know where he is on the field, or everyone's all around him and he doesn't know where to go with the ball, or doesn't know should he throw it away or not, or try to there's a play I got to make here. I got to do it. Even when he was down on the road in Arizona a couple weeks ago, we didn't see that. He seems to be totally in control and totally understanding what he needs to do in the moment when the moment rises to DEFCON 1 level for his team. So Denver, here we go. Jets, here we go. Cincinnati will be great. Like I told you, CBS should have the SEC broadcast team do it just for fun. And with Burrow versus Tua, I think they will have an 8-game win streak going into that game against Kansas City and the whole country. I mean, Nance and Romo should make their plans for that game right now. That game right now, week 14. I am all in on Tua. I am, but that's a tall order. That may be where everything, doesn't come crashing down, but doesn't go as well as it has until that point. But that's still things for the Dolphins are wide open in the AFC East. That's for darn sure. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. YouTube.com/RichEisen Show, along with our Peacock feed, is how you can catch us when we're off the air. Kyle Brandt, your phone calls, hour two. We're still here on Peacock. I see what people say when I talk about Tua, and they go kind of crazy. I see what people say. I get it. But, I have a set of eyes, and I see what I see. And usually, you go after the veteran, and the whole team loves the veteran, and things go south, man. They go south. They go south. They go south, not just because veterans might have a problem, but the veterans have bigger problems when the rookie doesn't show up. And when the rookie had problems in his first career start being efficient and having a game that is effective from the passing standpoint, from the offensive overall, they picked him up.
Yeah, defense special teams picked him up.
Scored touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then his game against Arizona, it kind of looked like now we're settling in. And then the game against the Chargers, we're settling in. And I don't think the Dolphins are going to be settling much longer, because they have some opponents that are ripe for the taking. Tua in the Rocky Mountains, Tua against the Jets, the New York media market getting a whole shot of him, and then here comes Joe Burrow before Patrick Mahomes, and he's not fazed by it. He's not fazed by it.
Yeah, he's playing in big games his whole life.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. NBC Sports on Peacock every day. Dan Patrick Show before us, brother from another after us. Hour two coming up.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.